Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Yuma Daf Mem Gimel. We're holding on the top of Daf Mem Gimel Amid Aleph. We are at the fourth word on the page, Vishachat Osa. And today's shir is sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children. It's also sponsored on behalf of DailyGiving.org, an organization that enables everyone to easily perform the mitzvah of tzedakah every day. 100% of the collected money is given daily to different organizations around the world. Please go to DailyGiving.org to join. It's also sponsored anonymously in the Zuchus of Rufus Shlema for Shmuel Chaim Ben Gittel, Ishlav Rufus Shlema, Visoch Shar Chole Yisrael. We thank all the sponsors very much for these sponsorships. So the first thing we're going to do is we're going to continue what we started to do yesterday, which is to go through the Parsha of Parah Aduma and Darshan word by word, essentially, or phrase by phrase, in the Parsha of Parah Aduma to learn out a variety of halachos. And we're going to demonstrate how, as we started to say yesterday, what Ula had commented, that Kala Parsha Kula is Mashma Motzi Miyad Mashma, and Mashma Mimela, that sometimes one pasuk tells me the opposite of what the previous pasuk was trying to tell me, and sometimes it comes to tell me similar to what the previous pasuk was telling me. And then after we go through, that's going to take up the entire Amud Aleph, going through the drushas of Parah Aduma and much of Avin Beis as well. Then before the Mishnah, we're going to discuss, go back to the topic of whether a zar is allowed to shecht the Parah Aduma, and we're going to discuss the change in the vidui the second time around. How we mentioned that the Kohen Gadol, the first time he said vidui in his par, it was just for him and his family, and the second time he starts including Echav HaKohanim, he starts including the other Kohanim. So why it is that it develops in that way, that there's a second vidui that includes the Kohanim. And then the Mishnah, on Amud Beis, a long Mishnah, is going to go through the Shechita of the Par, the Kabbalas Hadam of the Par, the shoveling of the coals from the Mizbeach HaChitzon, in order that he'll be able to be Maktir the Ketores in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And once we mention the shoveling of the coals, it's going to tell us five differences between the shoveling of the coals to be Maktir the Ketores Lefnai V'Lefnim versus the shoveling of the coals each and every day of the year, when he's Maktir Ketores twice a day, every day. And then once the Mishnah had mentioned that, it's going to tell us five different chilukim between the Seder Avodah's Kohen Gadol and Yom HaKippurim, and the Seder Avodah of the Shar Kohanim, of every other Kohen, each and every day of the year. So it's going to be distinctions between the shoveling in particular, and distinctions in general of the Avodah's Kohen Gadol and Yom HaKippurim versus the Avodah that Kohanim do throughout the year. So let's begin again at the very top of the page. V'shachat Osa. So we're continuing to make the drashos. What do I learn from the phrase V'shachat Osa? That you shouldn't shecht another para at the very same time. At the very same time means mamish, in the same motion. The halacha is that in order for a shechita to be kasher, the knife needs to be a certain length. It needs to be double the, well, if you're going to go in one motion, it needs to be double the length of the animal's neck, of the width of the animal's neck. But imagine if you have a really, really long knife and you put two cows right next to each other, so in one slicing motion you might be able to shecht two cows. So you might be able to, but you're not allowed to do that with the Parah Aduma. You're not allowed to shecht two cows at the same time. To do one right after the other, it would not be a psul of v'shachat osa. Tos Yishanu points out it would be possible, but not because of v'shachat osa. It would be a psul of hesach hadas, and you're not allowed to be masiach das. But from v'shachat osa, we only learn that you're not allowed to do both at the same time. Then the pasuk says lefanav. It says v'shachat osa lefanav. So we already said yesterday what we learned from there. L'rav shalei yosiach daito mimena. Rav derives from the word lefanav that you're not allowed to have a hesach hadas, and l'shmuel she'ezar shochit ve'lazar roa. L'shmuel holds that the shechitas para can be done by a zar, holds that it means that the zar does the shechita. It's lefanav. The elazar just has to be lefnei elazar. It just has to be lefanav. He could just be looking on as a non-kohen is doing the shechita. And we're going to come back to that discussion about whether a non-kohen may do the shechita. Then the pasuk goes on to tell us velokach elazar hakohen midama be'etzpa'o. So the Gemara darshans the reason it has to tell us Elazar HaKohen l'Shmuel, according to Shmuel, who darshaned in the previous pasuk that the shechitas k'sheira bizar. So the Torah has to identify Elazar HaKohen over here la'adure le'Elazar, to tell me that the avodah goes back to only Elazar right now, that the Kabbalah Sadam, the Hazas Hadam, that's got to be by Elazar, that's got to be by a Kohen. Because if it just would have said, V'lokach mi dama be'etzba'o, and not told me Elazar, I would have said, oh, the same Zar that shechted it, the non-Kohen that shechted it, is allowed to continue and do the Shara Vodos as well. So no, it has to identify Elazar, because now it shifts to Elazar. Ula Rav, and according to Rav, who holds that even the previous pasuk that only allowed a kohen to do the shechita, and the zar is not allowed to do the shechita, so why does it have to tell me el azar again when it talks about the Kabbalah? Because have miut achar miut, it's a double miut, that after the Torah already is mima'it by the shechita, that it has to be done by a kohen, cannot be done by a zar, so it gives me another miut to tell me that the Kabbalah Saddam is only done by a kohen, not by done by a zar, and the rule is vein miut achar miut el the rabbis. Whenever you have one miut followed by another miut, it's always coming to tell me a riboy, and therefore it's teaching me that you don't need a lazar. Tafilu kohen hediot. You can't have a zar, but it could be a kohen hediot, could do the Kabbalah and the Hazaah. It's lavdafka el azar. So you see that this pasuk, both according to Rav and according to Shmuel, is motzi miad mashma. That according to Rav, the pasuk is being machshir Kabbalah and Hazaah Saddam, even with a kohen hediot. That's motzi from the previous pasuk, which required el Azar specifically, and according to Shmuel, this pasuk is also motzi miyad mashma, because the previous pasuk allowed even a zar, and now we're insisting that it be done by a kohen. So that's what it means. It's that's what we were referring to when we were talking about motzi miyad mashma. That sometimes the previous pasuk is talking about something, and this pasuk is coming to tell me a chiddush. It's a shift. It's some change in the halacha. What is this idea that we have throughout Shas? Ein miyut achar miyut elo. So it is one of the Midrash HaTorah and Drashas Behen. The Brisa of the 32 Midrash HaTorah and Drashas Behen, we say every morning the Brisa of Rabbi Shmuel Lomer of the 13 Midrash HaTorah and Drashas Behen. That is not an exhaustive list. It's not even the 13 most common. I'm not sure why Rabbi Shmuel only identified those, but there are clearly many more than 13 Midrash HaTorah and Drashas Behen. So one of the 32 Midrash HaTorah and Drashas Behen, the more expansive list, is Miyut Achar Miyut. And Ein Miyut Achar Miyut. So the Yad Ramah, Masech Sanhedrin, Daf Mem Vav, tries to explain why that would be the case. Meaning, if you tell me a double miut, I would think we're being very limiting. Why would you assume that a double miut is an expansive drasha that should be made? So he suggests that the second miut should really be unnecessary, because you already had the first miut to be mema'it. So since the second miut is not needed to be mema'it, it must be that the first miut is also not coming to be mema'it. So if it's not coming to be mema'it, it must be that it's there l'rabos. Meaning, once I know it's automatic that the second miut is not being mema'it anything, because I already had the first miut, so it's megala, the first miut is also not being mema'it anything. Or alternatively, the Yad Ramah suggests, the second miut is being mema'it the first miut. Meaning, whatever was mema'it in the first miut, the second miut is being mema'it that. Meaning, which is therefore the reverse of that. So it shifts the gear to be marbe. Tosus raises a question. Tosus and Daf Samach Amud Aleph over here in Maseches Yuma quotes Rashbam that raises the question: by every miut achar miut, why does the Torah have to tell me two miut? The Torah doesn't tell me anything, and I'll know the riboy memela. Meaning, we always assume that things are included until you exclude them. So why would we need a double miut? So he says, had it not been that there were two miutim, one might have found a drasha to be memayit something. So when the Torah makes two miutim, it's telling us proactively that we're being marbet, that you cannot look for a drasha to try to be memayit, because this is something that you're supposed to have a riboy. Okay, so then the pasuk continues when it talks about throwing the etzeres and the ezov and the shnit olas into the fire. V'lokach hakohen etzeres ezov shnit olas. The pasuk goes on to say v'hishlach chatos shofas hapara. So the Shmuel, according to Shmuel, holds that the previous pasuk about the Kabbalah Saddam and the Azaz Saddam needs Dafka El Azar. So this pasuk, the mashmalos of this pasuk is motzi from what the previous pasuk says, because it says V'lakach HaKohen, no longer El Azar. Now it says V'lakach HaKohen. So Dafilu B'Kohen Ediot. It could even be a Kohen Ediot. Ula Rav, and Rav held that even in the previous pasuk we already allowed a Kohen Ediot. So what do I do with the word HaKohen over here? So it's Itzrich. It needed to say HaKohen again. over here, because Salkatay to Chamina Kivin Dalav Guvat the part in the Lolli by Kohen, I might have thought that since the Ezov and the Eitzaris and the Ezov and the Shnei Talas are not the actual Guf Hapara, so I would think it's not as important that you have a Kohen involved in this Avoda. So Kamash Mulan, that's why I need the pasuk to tell me not so, that you still need a Kohen. So over here also you have Machlokas Rav and Shmuel, that according to Shmuel, this pasuk is Motzi Mian Mashma, because the previous pasuk insisted that it be Elazar, and now that we move on to the next stage of the Avoda of the Parah Aduma, it's telling me that even a Kohen had Yot, and according to Rav, the Kabbalah and the Hazaah are Kasher B'Kohen had Yot, and this pasuk is Mashma Memela. This pasuk is not Motzi Mian Mashma, this pasuk is Mashma Memela. It's telling me that the same din applies over here, because and we just have a Tzrichus as to why it has to tell me the same din over here that you need a Kohen. And then the pasuk continues, V'chibes begadav HaKohen. And again, the word HaKohen is extra. The previous pasuk already said HaKohen. So it sounds that V'chibes is going on the Kohen that I would have assumed V'chibes is going on the Kohen that we were talking about before. It doesn't have to say HaKohen over here. So why does it say HaKohen? To dafka juxtapose the phrase begadav with the word HaKohen. To tell me bikihuno, that he has to be wearing the big day kuhuna at the time of the Asiyas HaPara. Normally we assume this, the Gemara in Zvachim tells us, Bizman shebigdeyem aleyem, kuhunasam aleyem, that a Kohen is, Kohen's always a Kohen to get the first Aliyah, he's always a Kohen for certain halachos, but a certain, when it comes to Beis HaMikdash Avodos, so there's a certain element of his kuhuna that's missing when he's not wearing the big day kuhuna. So Bizman shebigdeyem aleyem, kuhunasam aleyem, he has a full-fledged status of kuhuna when he's wearing the big day kuhuna. That is not the way Rashi explains it over here. Rashi over here says it's just the smichus of HaKohen and Begadav. It's not from the word HaKohen that he's got to be in his full glory of kuhuna. It's the smichus of the words of Kohen and Begadav to tell me that it's that he's got to be wearing the big day kuhuna. So the Rashash makes that ha'ara that it's similar to the drasha, but it's not exactly the drasha of Bizman Shebigdeyem Aleim Kunasam Aleim and Bizman Shebigdeyem Aleim Ein Kunasam Aleim. Now the idea that kuhuna is learned from the din of Big Day Kuhuna that's learned from the word HaKohen, the Sefri Darshins in Gzeir Shava Chuka Chuka Miyom HaKippurim, that just like a Kohen Gadol Miyom HaKippurim has to wear the Dala Big Day Lavan, so too the Kohen in the Asiyas HaPara has to be wearing the Big Day Kuhuna. So the Sefri Darshins it from Chuka Chuka, yet over here we're darshaning in the Gemara from an actual word in the Pasuk, that the Torah is actually identifying a word to tell me that the Kohen who's doing the Parah Aduma must be wearing his Big Day Kuhuna. So Melor Rohim has a very interesting ha'ara. We're going to see in a couple of lines, the Gemara is going to have a concept, Milsa da'asya b'kal v'chomer tarach v'kasav lakra. Sometimes you have something, that, a halacha, that could be derived from a kal v'chomer, and the Pasuk spells it out anyway. Kal v'chomer is one of the Midos Shatar and Dreshet Ben. Does that same idea apply to the other Midos Shatar and Dreshet Ben? Would you ever say, Milsa da'asya b'gzerah shava? Tarach v'kasav lakra, the Gemara never uses that phrase. The Gemara uses the phrase milsa dasi b'kal v'chomer tarach v'kasav lakra. Kal v'chomer is something that's not really alluded to from the words of the Pesukim, it's from the logic of the halacha. Gzeirah Shava and most of the other Midos Shatar and Dreshet Ben are based on the wording of the Pasuk. So we it's one thing to say something that's not really alluded to in the words, Tarach v'kasav lakra. Now, to upgrade it, the Torah is going to make sure that it's more than just a kal v'chomer, it's going to spell it out. But Gzeirah Shava is already in the words, it's just a matter of interpreting the words. Do we also say Tarach v'kasav lakra? Furthermore, a kal v'chomer is pure logic, and because it's pure logic, it could be schlugged up with pure logic. If you have a logical argument to say why the kal is not kal and the chomer is not chomer, you could have a pircha in the kal v'chomer. So I understand the Torah wants to write it out so that it's not subject to a logical argument. Gzeir Shav is not subject to a logical argument anyway. So what would be the need for Tarach v'kasav lakra? If you have a Kabbalah, there's such a Gzeir Shav, so there's such a Gzeir Shav. There's no argument that could blow it up anyhow. So the only so is there really a need for Tarach v'kasav lakra? But says the Melor Rohim, what you see from here is that there is such a rule that Milsa Dasiv Gzeir Shav Tarach v'kasav lakra, because the Sefri has a Gzeir Shav to derive this halacha that the Kohen needs to be wearing his Big Day Kuhuna while he's doing the Parah Aduma, and yet yet our Gemara learns it from a word in the pasuk. So you see that even in Milsa Da'asi, because Erishava is Tarek V'Kasav Lakras, and Maharam quotes that there are those who disagree with that. But it seems from this Gemara that you have a raya to that principle. Then the pasuk continues, V'tamei HaKohen Ad HaErev, and again it identifies HaKohen. So Kohen B'Kihuno L'Doros. It means that the Kohen has to be wearing the Big Day Kuhuna, not only in the original Parah Aduma that Elazar HaKohen dealt with, but L'Doros, whenever we have a Parah Aduma, the Kohen has to be wearing the Big Day Kuhuna. Says Gemara, Hani Chalaman Diyamar. I understand very well, according to the Shita, that Lidoros b'Kohen Hedyot, that the Lidoros, a Kohen Hedyot, can be involved in the Parah Aduma, so that by the Parah that's used Lidoros, the Torah is more makil than by the Paras Moshe. So Shapir, then I understand that the Torah has to go out of its way, that even though we're a little more makil about who can handle the Parah Lidoros, it doesn't have to be Elazar, it could be any Kohen, so even so, we're still going to insist that he wear Big Day Kuhuna. El Madi Abba Lidoros becoming Gadol, but if you hold, we're more machmir about the Parah Lidoros, that the Parah Lidoros is not going to, you can't get away with Elazar, you need to go straight to the top, it needs to be dealt with by the Kohen Gadol. Well, Hasha Kohen Gadol being in the Kuhuna Mibah. Once you tell me it's got to be the Kohen Gadol, would I even have a Havamina that he doesn't need to be wearing the Big Day Kuhuna? Of course he has to be wearing the Big Day Kuhuna. We're more machmir on Parah Lidoros than we are on the Parah in the days of Moshe. So says Gemara, you're right, I could have derived this from a Kal V'Chomer, that if I'm insisting on a Kohen Gadol Kal V'Chomer, I'm going to require Big Day Kuhuna, but Milsa Dasi B'Kal V'Chomer, Tarech V'Kasav Lakra. Sometimes something is derived from a Kal V'Chomer, and the Pasuk is going to say it out anyway. The Ritva points out that the Gemara, the Pasuk will only do that if it could say it in a word, but if it has to, if it would have to go out of its way a lot in order to tell me that which is already derived from a Kal V'Chomer, the Pasuk wouldn't go that far. And the Rishonim explained already, why is it that the Torah would spell it out? Kal V'Chomer teaches me a Din D'Oraisa also, so why is there a need for Tarech V'Kasav L'Kra? Why would Hashem waste words in the Torah that could have been derived from a Kal V'Chomer? So the Rishonim point out, because a Kal V'Chomer, you can, as we said before, you can shlug it up with a Pircha, you can ask a logical question on it, and therefore reject the Kal V'Chomer. But once it's Tarech V'Kasav of Lakra, so it's much more firm. It's something that cannot be easily rejected. One could also argue that there are differences in halacha between that which is derived from a Kal V'Chomer and that which is derived from a Beferish or Pasuk. That's what the Taz HaYadua, the Taz writes in three places in Shulchan Aruch, that when the Rabbanan make a din that to be Mevatel Mitzvah Daraisa B'Shevi Altasa, the Migdar Milsa, for some sort of Gezerah, they're only empowered to do so if the Din Daraisa that they're being Mevatel is not Mefurish B'Kra. If it's Mefurish B'Kra, then they can't do that. So you're actually upgrading the Din Daraisa by the Torah spelling it out rather than relying on a Kal V'Chomer. So that's why we have a Pasuk that tells me this Din that you need the Big Day Kuhuna L'Doros for the Parah Aduma. Then the Pasuk goes on to tell me, V'asav Ish Tov, and he puts it michutz l'machna b'machum tara. The pasuk describes. So the Gemara says ish. It seems like an extra word in the pasuk. Lahachsher sazar for the asifas ha'efer, to gather together the efer hapara. You don't need a kohen. That even a non kohen can do. If it just would have said va'asaf es efer hapara without the word ish, it would sound like we're talking about the same guy that we were talking about previously, which was the kohen who was involved in everything. By adding the word ish, it's telling me motzi miyad mashma, that while the previous pasuk was talking about a kohen, now we're talking about even a zar. And then the pasuk says tahar, it says ish tahar, so that's also extra. The parah aduma is like every karban, obviously, it's got to be with a person that's tahar. So it's the hachshir si isha. By saying tahar, it's coming to give me a riboy that you can include not only a zar, we then move to the next step. Who else could be included beyond a zar? Even an isha, that even a woman would be permitted to gather together the Efer. V'hiniach. Then the pasuk says, and they place it down in a makom tar. Mishiyesh bo das liniach. That's an exclusionary term. That even though we're marbe, even a zar, even an isha, but that's where it stops. A person has to be a bar das. Yatsu cherishot v'katan. Shein ben das laniach. It has to be someone who's able to place the Efer down purposely with a sense of das, whereas cherishot v'katan doesn't have das, and therefore, therefore is possible to do that avoda. So we continue to darshan the psukim tonight, but before we do that, a little bit of an introduction with a Mishnah Maseches Parah. Tanan Hasam, Hakol Ksherin LeKadesh Chutz MiCheir Shatav Katan. Everyone could put the water on the afer in the kli except for a Cheir Shatav Katan. Rabbi Yehuda Machshir Katan. Rabbi Yehuda says even a Katan can do it. Uposel BeIsho BeAndrogynous. But an Isha, an androgynous, is not allowed to do it because an androgynous is a Safik Ish, Safik Isha. So if an Isha is not allowed to do it, an androgynous is not going to be allowed to do it because an androgynous might be an Isha. Tosos raises the question, why don't we mention that a Tumtum is also not able to do it? A Tumtum is similarly a Safik Ish, Safik Safik Isha. So Tosos suggests that a Tumtum is going to be possible according to everybody. It wouldn't be subject to Machlokas Tanaim because a Tumtum is also a Suffolk Arel, and an Arel is definitely not allowed to do it. The Androgynous is not an Arel, but a Tumtum is not only a Suffolk what his halachic status is, but we know he never got a Mila because his Simani Zachrus are covered up. So if he never got a Mila, then he might be an Arel. So anyway, so my time at Rabbanan, why did the Chacham hold that an Isha is that we're Machshir by an Isha to be Mekadesh the water, and we pasul cherishot v'katan tuchziv, because the pasuk says v'lochu l'tamei l'me'afar shefasachatas, and it says nasa l'mayim chayim alkeli. So that pasuk tells me after it says v'asav ishtar it's efer apara, and he's mekadish the efer apara. It's an avoda that you do after he gathers it together. So it sounds like when it says v'lochu, it's the same people who gather the efer apara that then are mekadish it, that then put it into the kli. So hanach the pasi lach pasi. Those people that I passed that do that are not allowed to do the asifa, namely the cherishot of katan, pasilach bekiddush, are continued to be possible for the kiddush hamayim. The hanach to achshri lach basifa, and the people that we've included and allowed to do the asifa, nashim achshri lach bekiddush, are also allowed to do the kiddush of the mayim in the kli. Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yehuda allows even a katan to do kiddush bekli and does not allow an isha. Why does he disagree with the chachamim? Because in Cain, if that were the case, that it's just telling me the same people that were involved in the Asifa are now allowed to be Maktish Lemayim, Lemakra Vilakach. It should have said Vilakach Bulashon Yachid, just like by the Asifa, it said Va'asaf. My velokhu, why does it switch to Lashon Rabbim? To tell me that even the katan who was not allowed to do it over there, was not allowed to do the asifa, is allowed to do the kiddush of the mayim in the kli. The Tosfos points out that Rabbi Yehuda holds that we darshan from velokhu only a katan. Meaning, yes, velokhu by switching to Lashon Rabbim is more expansive or including more people, but it's not cherishot of a katan. It's just a katan because at least a katan, even though cherishot of a katan are always thrown together in the same grouping because none of them are b'nei das, but a katan in a certain level is elevated because a katan is at least someone who's bal l'chal das, who's yavol l'chal das. One day he'll become a bar das. So if we're going to be marba somebody, we're only going to go with the minimalist approach and be marba just the next man down, which is going to be the katan and not the cherish and the shota. Isha minale, where does Rabbi Yehuda learn that the din of kiddush and the din of Isuf are different when it comes to an Isha, that an Isha is allowed to do the Asifa, but she's not allowed to do the Kiddush, because the Pasuk says, V'nasan v'lo v'nasna. Since the Pasuk says, V'nasan alav mayim chayim, it originally said, V'lachu b'lashon rabim, now it switches back to Lashon Yachid, so the Pasuk is telling me that v'lo v'nasna, that a woman is not allowed to do it. So that's how Rashi reads that line, that V'nasan, as opposed to V'nasnu, and therefore I learn v'lo v'nasna, that she's not allowed to do it. That's not the simple reading, right? The simple reading is v'nasan v'lo v'nasna, that it says it b'lashon zachar, not b'lashon nekeva, and that's why Anisha's not allowed to do it. Rashi goes, well, no, it's b'lashon yachid and not b'lashon rabim, and therefore v'lo v'nasna, a woman is not included because it's not b'lashon rabim. So why doesn't he just say like the simple reading of the Gemara? So Pashtus, what Rashi's bothered by, and the Rishonim point out is because the entire Torah is b'lashon zachar, that so you can't make a drasha from v'nasan v'lo v'nasna, where as we said yesterday, when the Torah wants to identify that only a man is allowed to do something, it will say the word ish just by speaking b'lashon zachar. That's not exclusionary of women. It's not coming to exclude women. So you can't make a drasha of v'nasan v'lo v'nasna. So it must be that it's v'nasan Vinasan and not Vinasnu, and therefore we say, and Mimela, a woman is not able to do it. V'Rabbanan, and the Rabbanan who hold that the Pasuk is telling me that all those who are allowed to do the Asifa are also allowed to do the Kiddush, Ikas Rachman of Lakach Vinasan, had it been consistent by keeping it singular, Havamina Ad Shakel Chad V'Yalev Chad, I would have thought that the same guy that takes the ashes also has to be the one that puts the water in the kli. So Kas Rachman of Lakchu, that's why it switches to Lashon Rabbim, because Rachman of Lakchu V'Nasnu, and if it would remain consistently B'Lashon Rabbim, Hava Amina Ad Shakli Trei V'Avi Trei, I would think that two people need to gather the Efer together, and then two people need to put it to put the Mayim into the kli. So Kas Rachman of Lakchu B'Lashon Rabbim and V'Nasan B'Lashon Yachid, Tafilu Shakli Trei V'Avi Chad, that even if two people gather together the Efer and then put the water and one person puts the water, though the water is going to be kosher, and you see that the Torah is not makbid that it's be the same person, because you see that it could be two people do one stage and then one person does the next stage. So it turns out that they argue in the drasha of the pasuk, the Rabbanan, according to the Rabbanan, the pasuk is mashma memela, that it's the same as the previous pasuk, that whoever is allowed to do the asifa in the next pasuk, when we talk about the kiddush mayim b'kli, those same people are allowed to do it. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's motzi mian mashma. Then no, we flip isha and katan. That when it comes to the asifa, the isha is kasher, the katan's not. When it comes to the kiddush b'kli, the katan is kasher and the isha is not. So it's motzi mian mashma. So again, this is how we introduce the whole sugya, that when you're going to be darshan the psukim by paraduma, sometimes it's mashma memela and sometimes it's motzi mian mashma. Then the pasuk continues, v'laka chez of a tavo b'mayim ish tahor, that and says v'hiza. So they do the sprinkling of the mechatas on the tamei person. So it's what happens after the kiddush. Once they mekadesh the water, they can sprinkle it. So the rabbanan, according to the rabbanan, that the kiddush could be done by an isha and it's possible by a katan. So why does it have to say the word ish? Ish below isha to tell me, unlike the previous stage, now a woman cannot do the hazaa. Tahar lachsher sakatan. But from the word tahar, we see that a katan can do the hazaa, because it just has to be a tahar person. We're not being so specific. The Rabbi Yehuda, and according to Rabbi Yehuda, that the kiddush is kasher b'katan as possible b'isha, ish v'lo katan. Ish is telling me an adult male, not a katan, and tahar lachsher si'isha, that now an isha is allowed to do the hazaa, because it's clearly telling me that this din, the din of hazaa, is going to be different than the din of kiddush. It's not coming to tell me that Hazza'a has the same rules as Kiddush, because then the Torah wouldn't have to write anything. By telling me the words Ish, Tahar, it's clearly being Motzi Miyad Mashma. So everyone agrees at this stage that it's not Mashma Mela, that it's a Motzi Miyad Mashma. It's just a question of what the starting point was. Was the starting point to be Makshir Katan and Pasal and Isha, or to be Makshir and Isha and Pasal and Katan? And now we're flipping that for the Hazaa, depending what your starting point was. So now the Gemara asks on this idea that by Hazaa, Rabbi Yehuda Pasal's Bekatan and his Makshir by Anisha. So Meisvei, we have a Mishnah Maseches Parah, Kol Ksher Mahazos, everyone is allowed to do that Zah of the Efer Parah, Chutz Mitzumtum V'Androgynous, V'Isha V'Katan, as the question in the gear, so whether it's katan shiyeshba, chutz mi tumtum androgynous v'isha. Everyone is allowed to do the hazah except for the tumtum androgynous isha. The katan that either shiyesh or she'ein bodas, isha misayato umaza. A child, a woman can help him along, and he could do the hazah. So meaning she'll grab it with him, she'll hold on to it with him, and they'll do the hazah together. So you see in the Mishnah that a woman is not allowed to do the hazah, and that a katan can do the hazaa. V'lo palug Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yehuda apparently does not disagree. So you see that Rabbi Yehuda's moda that an ish is possible to do the hazaa, and a katan is kosher to do the hazaa. So how could we say just before that Rabbi Yehuda disagrees? Here you have Rabbi Yehuda being moda, he does not disagree. Tosafta says, all you got to do is read the Tosafta. If you look in the Tosafta, you see that Rabbi Yehuda does disagree, and Rabbi Yehuda passes by a katan. It's beferish in the Tosafta. So how can the Gemara ask from the fact that Rabbi Yehuda doesn't disagree in the Mishnah? A lot of times you have like that. The Mishnah will present one opinion, and then you look in the Brises, you look in the Toseftas, and they'll present more opinions. So what's the big kasha that Rabbi Yehuda doesn't disagree in the Mishnah? So Tosafta says it must be that the Maksha didn't know the Brisa. He must have not realized that there was another, that there was a Brisa, there was a Tosefta that said very clearly that Rabbi Yehuda in fact disagrees. So Abaye says, you know what, even though Rabbi Yehuda does not disagree in the Mishnah, we know that he's Maksha B'Isha and he passes a Katan. Why? Kivan Damar Mar, because Ula said that Mashma Mosimi and Mashma, Mashma Mela, that some of the Psukim come to exclude what the previous psukim included, and some of them continue along the same path. So we have to know that therefore Rabbi Yehuda is pulling that he disagrees with the Chachamim, because the pasuk says ish tahar, so clearly it can't be the same as the previous pasuk. Meaning by saying the words ish tahar, it's the Torah is trying to draw my attention to the fact that over here it's different than the previous stage. So whatever Rabbi Yehuda held about the previous stage has to be flipped when it comes to this stage. So then we continue the drashas. V'iza atar al atame. Tahar person sprinkles on the tame person. Tahar mechal shu tame. We darshan that even though he's tahar, it must be that he was just recently tame. V'limei dal tful yom shekasher bepara. And that tells me that someone who was a tful yom, he already went to the mikveh, but he didn't yet have harav shemesh, that he's allowed to do the paraduma. Amar Rabbi Yasi ki havu ba Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish bepara, when Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish were darshaning the psukim about paraduma, lo maski mina el kamei demasik talami bekrava. They were only able to draw from these psukim the tiny amount of dirt that a fox has on its feet when it tramples on a plowed field. Meaning they didn't get too many chidushim out of this parsha. This whole parsha, there are psukim that the mashmos of the drasha is to exclude that which was in the previous pasuk, and there are certain psukim that just that continue in the same line as that which was in the previous pasuk. So that's a good way to summarize all of the drashas. Not that there are any great chidushim over here, but all of the drashas are either motzimi and mashma or mashma mela. Period. That's the end of the drashas about paraduma. So now we revisit the issue of whether a zar is allowed to shech the paraduma. Tani Tana Kamed Rabbi Yochanan, kol shechitos ksheres b'zar chutz mishal para. Paraduma is the only shechita that a zar cannot do. So Amalei Rabbi Yochanan, puk tani levra. Rabbi Yochanan told that chacham who taught this in front of him, go out of here, teach that outside of the base medrash, meaning it's not correct. Lo matzinu shechita b'zar psula. We don't find any shechita that a zar is not able to do, even the shechitas paraduma. Rabbi Yochanan, lo mi ba'il l'tana delot sayis. You don't need to tell me that not only did he not listen to the person who was teaching this teaching that the Tzar is not allowed to do the Shechita, Elafil Rabbei Lotzayis. He didn't even listen to his own Rabbi. Dom Rabbi Yochum Mishum Rabbi Shum Ben Yotzadak, Shechita's para bizarre Pesula. Because his own Rabbi, Rabbi Shum Ben Yotzadak, said, and Rabbi Yochum himself reported in the name of Rabbi Shum Ben Yotzadak, that a Shechita's para cannot be done by a zar. And the Yomer, but Rabbi Yochanan says, and I hold ksheira, because lomatzina shechita shepesul bazar. So Rabbi Yochanan held this so strongly that not only was he willing to reject other people who were teaching that a zar cannot do the shechita, even his own rebbeim, when they taught that a zar cannot do the shechita, he disagreed with them. A Talmud is allowed to disagree with his rabbi in learning. That's what the Gemara says in Maseches Kiddushin, that esvehev besufa, that even shnei talmid, even avu bno, ravu talmido, that nasim oivim zabez, that they look like they're enemies when they're learning together, because they're fighting with each other. They're allowed to argue with each other. It builds a more loving relationship long term, but you're allowed to argue with a Rebbe in learning. You're not allowed to pass him against him when he's right there, but after he dies, you're allowed to pass him against him. So, Balawei Tel Paroshniya, the Mishnah says that then the Kohen Gadol would go to the par a second time, and he would say a vidui again, and this time in his vidui he would say not just on Yuvesi, Ubnei Aronam Kadoshecha. He would include all of the Kohanim. So, Maishnam Vidui Rishon Dlomer Bnei Aronam Kadoshecha, Maishnam Vidui Sheni Dlomer Bnei Aronam Kadoshecha. Why in the first vidui did he not say Bnei Aronam Kadoshecha? So, Tanit Bnei that before he's mechaper for other people, he should make sure that he's clean first, right? So he's got to make sure that he's okay first. So he first says vidui in himself, and then he says vidui for everybody else. So the Ritva says, so why didn't he just say vidui in himself first? He said vidui for himself, his wife, his children. That's not just himself. So he says, yes, it is. Ishtoku guvo. That's his immediate responsibility. So he says vidui close to home first, and then he says a vidui that's more inclusive of the rest of his family. Tosi Shadim raises the point, But why then does he repeat a vidoyin himself? Meaning he should have moved on from that. He already said a vidoyin himself the first time. Now over here he repeats ani uvesi, and also the kohan imam kedoshecha. So the Tos Yeshanim points out because the vidoy that he said on himself did not achieve its kapara yet, because the par is still here. He didn't shech the par. He didn't do any other vodsadam of the par. So since it hasn't achieved its objective yet, he's still going to go back to that vidoy until it's achieved its previous objective. So that's why he goes and he says vidu again. This is the discussion. When you have averos that the Gemara has discussed, when you have averos that you said vidu for 1 year and you already got a kapara for one Yom Kippur, do you go back and continue to do tshuva on the same averos again? Right? Do you continue to say vidu on the same averos, or do you assume that I already had a Yom Kippur? So over here it's even less than that. Over here it's more obvious because you didn't even get your kapara yet. It didn't even happen yet. So once you already had a Yom Kippur, there's what to discuss. But over here he didn't even have his kapara yet. Okay, so now the Mishnah goes on to tell us what the Kohen Gadol did next on Yom Kippur. Shchato v'kibo b'mizrak, he shechted the par, and now he caught v'kibo b'mizrak estamo, he caught the dam in the kli, v'nosel l'mishu m'marispo, but he didn't do anything with the dam yet. He's going to have to do something else and take a break from the dam of the par. So he gives it to someone to stir the blood, because otherwise the blood would congeal. And the person stirring the blood would stand al rov l'rviyah shebehechel, in the fourth row in the hechel, the fourth row of tile in the hechel, kadesh shlo yikrosh, so that the dam would not become karush. So after he does that, he takes a break from the avodah sadam, and now he has to go to the mizbeach achitzon to take a shovel full of coal, so that he'll be able to be makter the ketores, and then he'll go back to the sprinkling of the dam apart. So natal machta, he now takes a shovel va'ala l'rosh ha-mizbeach, and he goes up to the top of the mizbeach achitzon, the big mizbeach, upina gechal melech ve'elach. He moves some coals, off to the sides a little bit, so that he can have access to the center of the pile. V'chota, and he digs out minamu ukalos from the coals that are really well burnt, hapnimios, that are all the way on the inside of the pile. V'yarad, and he goes down the mizbech. V'inicha al rovad arvi shabazar, and he places down that shovel on the fourth row of tiles in the azara. So once we're talking about the shovel that he's taking the coals with, the avoda of taking the coals, the Mishnah is going to talk about the specifics of the shovel that he takes the coals with. Throughout the rest of the year, when a Kohen would go take for the coals from the Maracha, he would use a silver shovel, and then he'd pour the coals into a golden shovel. And the reason that he started with the silver shovel is because otherwise it would ruin a gold shovel to be shoveling out constantly with the gold shovel. So they don't want to ruin the gold shovel because it would be very expensive. But on Yom HaKippurim, he would even do the shoveling with a golden shovel, and he would actually go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim with that golden shovel. The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah raises the question, in Kategor Nasneger, he's not even allowed to wear his big day Zav, how could he go with a golden shovel? Yeah, it's just a din in the Begadim. He goes in with the golden shovel. Another difference, every day the Kohen would shovel out with a shovel that has four kav of space in it, and he poured it into a shovel that can contain three kavin. And today he would use the same shovel on Yom HaKippurim, and it held three kavin, and that's what he'd go to the Kodesh Kedoshim with. Rabbi Yossi, that could hold six kavin, and poured into a three kav shovel. But it was only one shovel on Yom Kippur that held three kavin. Every other day of the year, the shovel was very heavy. It had thick walls to it. Vayom Kala, and Yom Kippur was a very light shovel. He was tired. He had a lot of busy day. Every day of the year, it was a short-handled shovel. Vayom Aruka, but it was a long-handled shovel on Yom HaKippurim. Throughout the rest of the year, the gold color of the shovel had a greenish tinge to it. Vayom Adam, but on Yom Kippur, it was red. Divrei Rabbi Menachem, at least that's what Rabbi Menachem says. The Rambam in Hilchos Avodas Yom HaKippurim quotes all five differences except for this one, except for the color of the gold. So the Achronim explained, because he must have held Divrei Rabbi Menachem, that that's just, it's a machlokas, and we don't paskin like the sheet of Rabbi Menachem. B'chol yom makrav pras b'shachris u'pras bein arbayim. Every day of the year he would take ketores of a pras, a chatzimana in the morning and a chatzimana in the afternoon. V'ayom and Yom HaKippurim, most of Melo Chafnav. he would add a melo chafnav of ketores. B'chol yom ha'isa daka v'yom daka min ha'daka. Every day was ground up spices, ketores, but on Yom Kippur it was daka min ha'daka. It was extra finely ground. B'chol yom kohanim olim b'mizrach shel kevesh. Throughout the rest of the year, the kohanim would go up the ramp on the eastern side of the ramp, yordan b'marava, and go down on the western side of the ramp. V'yom kohen gadol olim b'emtsa v'yori b'emtsa. The kohen gadol on Yom Kippur goes up and down in the middle of the ramp. That's a Kohen Gadol thing. It's not a Yom Kippur thing. That whenever a Kohen Gadol would go up, says Rabbi Yehuda, he'd go up and down in the middle of the ramp. Every other day, the Kohen Gadol would wash his hands from the Kiyar and his feet from the Kiyar. He had a special golden pitcher for it on Yom Kippur. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, that's a Kohen Gadol thing. It's not a Yom Kippur thing. He would always use a Kiton Shalzav. Every other day, there were four piles of fire on the Mizbech, and on Yom Kippur, there were five Divrei Meir. Rabbi Yossi Yom Rechol Yom Shalosh Vayom Arba, that normally there were three, and Yom Kippur, there were four. Rabbi Yom Rechol Yom Shtayim Vayom Shalosh. No, there were only two on a regular day, the Maracha Gdola, Maracha Shnei Shal Ketores. And then on Yom Kippur, they added an extra Maracha to take the Gechalim that are going to burn the Ketores, Lifnai V'Lifnim. But everyone holds that in Yom Kippur, there was one extra pile. It's just a machlokas about how many piles of wood there were on the top of the Mizbeach during the year. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, we'll pick up at the Gemara on the bottom tomorrow. Have a great day, everyone.